I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Sam Curry, a full-time bug bounty hunter and web application security researcher. You can visit Sam's blog at samcurry.net and follow him on Twitter at samwcyo. Welcome, Sam. So great to have you with us today.
Yeah, hey, Hillary. Excited to be here.
So, Sam, you're an ethical hacker who specializes in web app security and pen testing. Based on your LinkedIn, it looks like you're finishing up your cyber degree at the University of Nebraska at Omaha while also working for the likes of HackerOne and as an ambassador for BugCrowd. So it sounds like you're pretty busy. So tell us a little bit about how you got into cyber and hacking and what you have going on.
Yeah, definitely. So like right now, definitely like mix of all those things. But I don't know, like web application security stuff has been like my main like focus and like kind of like my main interest for like the last, I'd say like 5 years now. But yeah, I do a lot of just like different sort of stuff for the university. And I think I actually got into like bug bounty hunting and security stuff. I think I was on like a video game forum and we were like doing like game hacking.
Okay.
And I think somebody, there was maybe like some website, but we all started like looking at it and it was like a video game website. And you're able to do like a request to send currency. And I was trying to find a way to like tamper with it because I never like hacked websites before. And this was all like kind of like friendly, you know, like everybody knew each other in the community. So we were just kind of messing around. But we eventually found a way to like generate like infinite currency. And whoa, you can do this. Yeah. It was really like, I don't know, like kind of a one trick thing. And then after that, kind of like dove into web application security and then joined HackerOne, I think maybe a year after that, after someone from that community introduced me. And then ever since then, just been pretty much like rolling bug bounty and trying to do as much as possible.
Very cool. And how do you, we'll talk about your involvement with the Apple bug bounty program in a little bit, but how do you find, I guess I'm trying to figure out the terminology, how do you find bounties?
Yeah, so the whole idea of it is that, you know, pen testing and like security consulting has existed for a long time. And typically the way that's done is like, you'll have like a company and they say, hey, you know, we have either, you know, some requirement we have to meet for like regulations, or they'll say, hey, we need like a security audit. So they'll typically like get a team of like 3 or 4 people to come in and do an audit of the company for like maybe 40 hours. And then they'll get like one report with just all the findings. But bug bounty is different because the way in which bug bounty works is the company says, hey, you know, anybody can hack us at any time. And if you find a valid security vulnerability, we'll pay you on a case-by-case basis. So in order to like go about finding security vulnerabilities or get bug bounties, you basically just have to report or find and report a valid security vulnerability. And what a valid security vulnerability is in like that context is just anything that, you know, invalidates like the CIA triad, you know, confidentiality, integrity, or availability, or has some, you know, customer impact. So there's like a lot of different ways, but pretty much anything a company is going to care about, they'd like to know about, and they'll pay you for it.
Okay, that's great. And so it's a great segue. In October of 2020, you shared on your blog how you and 4 others worked for together from July through October to hack Apple via their bug bounty program, which rewards researchers and ethical hackers for finding vulnerabilities. So what did you and your team find?
Yeah, we found like a bunch of, there were, I think, a total of 11 critical submissions, then like maybe like 20 or 30 high severity submissions, and then I think like 30 plus maybe like low or medium severity submissions. But we found a bunch of different stuff. We were able to get code execution on Apple servers, which would have let us, you know, like spin up whatever we wanted, see their source code, reach out to other services. And there was a lot of other vulnerabilities as well. There was one where we were able to enumerate any Apple user's phone number, address, full name, just full information about the user's account, and I think purchases as well, just by incrementing a user ID. There's a lot of other like really interesting stuff. There are a lot of like technical server-side vulnerabilities like SQL injection, we're able to dump the database of an Apple service, or like server-side request forgery, we're able to basically like hop inside their network and send requests and read responses on behalf of their like internal network. But yeah, just a lot of different, like pretty much all sorts of stuff. I think we were there for like 3 months. So we just kind of found like kind of a multitude.
Were you physically there?
No. Oh, okay. that'd be definitely be interesting. Yeah.
When you said you were there, I was like, wait, were you actually there?
I wish. It'd be more fun.
Okay, cool. And so, so working with four other people, what was the process like? How did you all collaborate, and did you kind of like give each other assignments, or just what was that process like?
Yeah, so it's pretty easy. There's a guy named Casey John Ellis. He's the founder of Bug Crowd, but he is kind of like a famous quote, which is like, every bug is a startup in bug bounty. I think it's kind of hilarious, because like you think about it and you're like, wow, this is the most like salesy thing I've ever heard. And then you like, you kind of dive into it a bit, but like every bug in a way, like you're essentially taking like you're getting, and in this case, like you're getting like a team together, right? Like you have a couple friends, and you go out and you find like a security vulnerability, and then like you report it and you have to pitch it and sell it, and then they'll pay for it based on that, right? Mm-hmm. But in that sort of way, I think it's a funny quote, which is why I kind of mention it, because I've been thinking about that one a lot. But like we've all known each other. We've worked together at like various like live hacking events, which, you know, like are basically like these events where you'll spend like 2 weeks hacking a particular company alongside like maybe 30 or 40 other people. And typically like the way in which those events go is like everybody's like will hop on a Slack instance and try to hack the company. And you can kind of like send messages to one another, and everybody kind of knows each other. And so like it's kind of easy to like segue into working with other people. So with the particular researchers on the Apple thing, I've known them for maybe over 2 years now. And I kind of just, you know, I started trying to hack Apple, and I said, I don't want to do this by myself, because like you're going to lose momentum basically. So I was like, you know, like let's all just work together on this. And we just joined a group chat and started going away at it.
That's awesome. And after you found the vulnerabilities, how did Apple respond?
There were, at first it was kind of hard to tell, because the way in which their program works is like, it's kind of different from every other HackerOne program. They're very, for such a large company, I feel like their process has to be a bit more like automated and less human-y, in the sense of, if you're going to email them, it may take like, it may be hard to get like an actual response for a while. So typically like for the first like few bugs, we had like a very like generic, thank you for your submission. You know, we'll evaluate this on our bug bounty program once it's fixed. So it's like, okay, cool. You know, maybe they're going to pay for these bugs, but over time, we eventually started, you know, to have conversations with them about it. And we eventually did like a video call, and they spoke about it, but they were very enthusiastic about a lot of the bugs. And like, you could definitely care. They're very excited about like the findings, and like cared about like customer data.
That's good to hear. And they pay you, right? Because Chris Morgan, our editorial assistant, he had been in contact with you because he was the one that found the article that stated how the company, you know, Apple had so far, I think they committed to paying you just shy of $300,000 or something like that. But then you had received an email for them for like an additional $237,000 for more vulnerabilities that you'd found. So there's definitely a bounty, which is really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. The way in which they pay, their pay scale is pretty much, it goes up to like, I think, a very absurd amount of money. I think it's like $250,000. Okay. But those are for like the, you know, like top tier, like hardware vulnerabilities. The maximum payout we received for one bug was $50,000.
Okay.
But I think we scraped together so far about a little bit over $500,000. Wow. At the moment.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I think probably by the end of the year, we'll set to like hit maybe like 750. We're continuing to hack on them right now. They do pay bounties, and it's like the same way in which, like, you know, like a case by case basis, but it's an interesting process.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. And I mean, it's nice to be rewarded for that work. I've definitely spoken with some folks who wish more companies would do that to help keep us secure, because ultimately that's what it does, right?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
And so I feel like you may have touched upon these when you were talking about the vulnerabilities before, but what were the, but I think in the article, it actually called out like the two worst vulnerabilities that you and the team found and what their potential implications for users were. Could you talk to those a little bit?
Yeah. So I think we had the top two. We probably had, I think we have two remote code execution vulnerabilities. In the article, it may be different, but we weren't allowed to disclose at the time. So maybe, okay. I'll just speak about it here. I could definitely talk about the ones in the article as well, but the top one was basically, there's a website on Apple, it's authors.apple.com, and we're able to basically inject into a command line argument and execute any command we wanted as the system. And what was really interesting about that box was that authors.apple.com has like, is basically on the Apple's internal network, and I think may have had functionality to access like user information. Therefore, like if we were able to like compromise that box, we could have, you know, pushed out any content we wanted. We could have like read that source code and like kind of reverse engineered it in order to like access Apple user data. Or we could have just basically like used that box as a pivot box and kind of just explored, you know, the rest of the Apple network internally, which would have been probably like a lot more soft and have like a lot more customer like impact or ability to like pivot deeper. And the other bug was pretty much, it was a similar thing. Basically, it was a full compromise of the site called, it was like Apple's education community, I think. And it's basically like a forum for Apple educators to, who are basically people who like educate, you know, like people on Apple products. For instance, like a teacher, like, you know, sharing some of their students or whatever. But we were able to like completely bypass their authentication and log in to an administrator account, right? And at that point, when you're logged in as the administrator, you can basically just execute code by default on the system. So it's pretty much the same impact of that other bug.
Interesting. That's really, wow. That's crazy. And I'm glad that you guys have done this work. That's really, that's really impressive.
No, cheers. Thank you.
When you said the quote of every bug is a startup, it made me think of the show Silicon Valley for some reason. Did you watch that show at all?
I did. Yeah. I saw the first season and I was kind of like, that's exactly like what I thought of when I heard that as well. I'm like, you know, like if this isn't some, you know, Bay Area, like, you know, sales pitchy phrase, and I don't know what it is, but the more I thought about it, the more it made sense. And I was like, okay, maybe it's not.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. But it definitely did, because like in that they were like compressing files, and that was what their Pied Piper startup was based on. So
yeah,
that's funny. I love that show. It's so funny. I'm not a hacker. I'm more of Jared, if you remember his character. The one that's obsessed with Scrum, the project manager. That's more my speed. But
yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, it's funny. That's what I was, and that's also what I was, you know, stereotypically. So my apologies. That's what I was thinking of when you were talking about you guys like together, working together, like assigning each other things to do. I was thinking about how they, like when Jared, he puts all the post-its up for the Scrum and they start competing with each other to see who could do more. That's kind of what I was thinking of.
It would definitely get like that. Like at certain points, it's like, all right, what do we need to knock out to move forward on this? But yeah, I don't know if I could work under that for too long, the sticky notes and stuff.
they definitely didn't seem to enjoy it very much, but it was funny in how it motivated them. But
yeah, absolutely.
And you do need, I guess, some structure to stay on course, which you guys, it sounds like you got into like a good rhythm together, especially since you know each other.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And so, Sam, what's next for you as a bug bounty hunter and I guess beyond?
I'm not sure. I mean, at this point, like I've been spending a lot of time exploring like a lot of like commonly used softwares and looking for vulnerabilities which affect like wider arrays of companies, right? Like I've never really deep dived in like particular software before. So like recently, like the last couple of weeks, I spent a lot of time trying to find like zero-day vulnerabilities and kind of like larger use softwares. And we found like a pre-auth remote code execution vulnerability, which I'm really excited about. I don't know. I'd like to spend more time. I'm definitely going to spend more time in security. I really do enjoy like security. So I'd like to maybe, I don't know, just explore a bit more out. To be honest, like, I don't know. I'm like not quite sure what to do, but I think it'll pan out, hopefully.
I'm sure it will, but I think you're definitely thinking about things in a good way, and I'm excited for what you do. I feel like you're probably going to change, though. I feel like you're not going to do one thing for a super long time. I could be wrong. This is our first conversation together, but I think it's cool. I think you're going to do a lot of different cool things in that realm. So I think you're going to have a lot of fun, though, at the very least. So it's cool.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's really interesting because like I think a lot of people mistake the bug bounty community for like, you know, these are the most technical people of all time, and they're like super, you know, like they're super into technology and like read the Matrix or whatever. But it's like a lot of these people are just kind of like, and I don't mean to speak on behalf of the whole bug bounty community, but there's like a lot of people who saw like opportunities there and from like financial opportunities or like things to explore, a lot of like internet hustlers, I would say.
Yeah.
And the idea of like people staying in like security is kind of interesting because there's definitely like a lot of people who like maybe used to run like Shopify stores or something, right? And then they'll like, and then would like sell t-shirts and stuff. And then they see bug bounty. And it's like, oh, I can make money doing this and just do it. So yeah, I'm really curious as well for like the whole bug bounty space is why I mentioned that, because there's like a lot of interesting like direction maybe. If things fall apart, where do the people go? I'd love to know.
Yeah. Yeah, that is interesting. And maybe we'll do something on that. I actually want to explore that a little more too. Like it'll be curious to see how things unfold.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, Sam, I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me today. This has been a lot of fun, and it was really cool hearing about how you all work together to find that and to learn a little more about bug bounty hunting from a bug bounty hunter.
Yeah, awesome. Happy to be here. Nice to meet you, Hillary, as well.
Yeah, you too, Sam. Thank you. I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me today was Sam Curry, a full-time bug bounty hunter and web application security researcher. You can visit Sam's blog at samcurry.net and follow him on Twitter at samwcyo. And you can listen to all of our podcast episodes at cybercrime.radio.